Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
Well, we're going to be talking about soul rehab. This is week two. Last week we talked about how God is a trustworthy shepherd. He is faithful. He can be trusted. And so as we work our way through Psalm 23, which hopefully many of you have become familiar with. If not, if you've been to a funeral, you probably heard it, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He puts us in a position, in a place where we can find rest and healing and calm in the midst of chaos. And last week we learned all about that. This week we're gonna learn how to identify and listen to the voice of God speaking and directing our lives. The Good Shepherd, Jesus, has sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of all believers and direct and guide us each day of our lives. And part of our ability, part of our maturity as believers is learning how to hear that voice and implement and obey what God is telling us to do. You won't be perfect, but I guarantee you, you will lead a much more exciting life when you hear the voice of God, because he won't fail, right? He won't. He won't. There's a lot of talking in our house, and it's noisy. Anyone else have a noisy house? Anyone noisy house? Some of you remember when you had noisy houses, or you get the house gets noisy when you have grandkids, or maybe the house gets noisy when you have friends over and family over. That's awesome. I envy you. That's good noise, okay? Sometimes our house gets so noisy, I can't hear anybody saying anything, okay? We got this little craziness over here. They're mad because someone didn't do their chores properly and they feel it's their responsibility to let them know, okay? Then we got this craziness over here. He touched her elbow, okay? And I don't know, Danielle, you fit that. Look at that. I was gonna say, I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but there she was. And you know what? I mean, in our family, anyway. Our kids are crazy, okay? They're always noisy. And then there's a couple of kids in the corner. We have a lot of kids. There's a couple of kids in the corner and they're having so much fun. They're being noisy. They're like, they've clued out everything else. They're always roughhousing and hitting each other with towels and spraying people with squirt bottles and water guns in the kitchen. Okay, I don't know what your house looks like, but that's what mine does, like as recent as yesterday. And it's noisy, and then there's my wife and I, and we're just having this moment, right? And she's telling me what's going on in her life and the day, and we're talking. I'm like trying to pay attention where there's all this craziness happening, okay? The psychotic people in our house that are trying to distract me. Now, how many of you parents, you can identify this. You can identify with this. We're sitting here having this great conversation, and all of a sudden, a child emerges from the door, slips in between us, and all of a sudden, they think we've been sitting out here waiting, just waiting for them to speak. All right, and then it's like, excuse me, I can't hear what your mother's saying because you just got in front of me and started talking, right? Okay, sometimes we have so many voices that are just, it's just noisy everywhere. And sometimes it's hard to hear the one voice that will bring us hope, the one voice that we really want to hear. Now kids, you also know what I'm talking about. Kids, you know what I'm talking about? Like when you're like engulfed in your favorite YouTube video and your parents are like, hey, did you do your chores yet? It's like, come on, Mom, I'm trying to watch. Right? You know what I'm talking about. This is how it, Mason. Yeah. Yeah, why is the TV on? Because the TV is not supposed to go on until after chores are done, right? Right? Am I the only mean parent in here? All God's mean parents say amen. All right, okay, good. See, I'm not weird. Okay, so it's not actually that difficult to hear the voice of God. And if we're listening, right? And then when I say these things, sometimes, this is gonna get personal. You know, sometimes my kids, all you care about is chores. Does anyone else get this from their kids? Anyone? Anyone else? Shut up, Jamie. In the name of Jesus, be gone, Satan. He's like, nah, I don't hear that. Caden, you don't harass your parents? All right, I'll teach you how later, all right? So listen, like sometimes our kids think like all we care about is chores, right? Because sometimes life gets so noisy, that's the only time we talk. And so when we talk about listening and hearing the voice of God, we wanna make sure that it's not only when we need something. We wanna make sure that we're listening and that we have this relationship that continues. And sometimes, by the way, the TV has to be turned off. By the way, God doesn't do that. He doesn't like turn the TV. I mean, the electric may go out, I don't know. He doesn't slap the phone out of your hand so that you pay attention, okay? But sometimes you need to put the phone down yourself so that you can hear the voice of God in your life. Like I said, it's not that difficult to hear the voice of God. It's just a matter of familiarity. It's a matter of calming down the other voices in the room so that we can hear the one voice that matters the most. And unfortunately, God has not yet resorted to interrupting our Netflix binging with these important messages, okay? That's not how God communicates. He is the gentle shepherd, leading us in a calm and gentle manner. John 10:4, second part of it. By the way, John 10 is like a perfect complement to Psalm 23. Just read the whole thing later on today or this week. John 10:4 says, his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So we say, if we're believers, we ought to know his voice. We follow him. We don't just, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's, by the way, when I talked to somebody recently about doing their chores while they're watching YouTube, there wasn't even so much as a flinch in my direction. It was like, you know, and then you just to kind of translate that to God, like, hey, are you hearing me? Son, you know, you hearing me? And then we're like, why won't God speak? So I want you today to learn to discern, to identify the voice of God speaking, because he is speaking to you. So to do that, we're gonna play a game. Everybody ready for a game? Okay, just as lousy as first service. You know, I talked to you guys up. I said, man, second service is gonna have more caffeine. They're gonna have more rest. And when I say let's play a game, they're gonna be like, it's crazy. It's gonna be like hard to calm you guys down. And then here they are. You're streamed live online for them to see. You let me down. You guys are supposed to be the wild service. Okay, we're gonna play a game. Are you guys ready? That's all, okay, good enough. All right, we'll go with it. All right, here's the thing. I think you're gonna recognize most, if not all, of these sounds. You guys ready to play? All right, give me that first sound. So, y'all just need to shout it out. Are you new here? Okay, good. Now, Garrett was the first to answer. Now, Garrett, why is it that you know what that sound is? So, and Garrett teaches automotive at Sebastian River High School, so he has spent some time with a ratchet, and I have spent most of my sabbatical underneath the minivan with that same stupid noise, okay? All right, so next one, let's see what kind of people we got in this room, all right?
Xbox.
All right, there we go. Okay. Okay, now that was true to my prediction, because first service, we must have hung out on this one for 30 seconds, and they're like, Windows? I'm like, wow. Even I know this one, and I don't like gaming. Okay, good job. Did you get it?
What's
your
Xbox?
Oh! Parenting award goes to? Yes, good job. All right. Good job, Philip and Wendy. All right. That's good. What's an Xbox? Okay, next one, and this one's near and dear to my heart, probably one of the greatest sounds that I hear on a daily basis. Espresso maker. My wife got it because she knows the noise. Okay, now, some of you thought I was in the bathroom when I recorded that. Get your minds out of the gutter, okay? This is church, okay? All right, you guys got that? Well, a few people. Who have the Holy Spirit understand what espresso is. Okay, next one. Let's see how old you are. Oh, wrong one, but sure. What is it? Shout it louder. No. No. Ocean, you got it. Okay, aren't you from like up north somewhere? Chicago. Good. You just have taught this kid. Is he homeschooled? No? Oh my goodness, wow. That's amazing. These people that live here don't even know what the ocean sounds like. Now y'all have a good excuse you're not from around here, right? Okay, you are from around here? Okay, you're not. Okay, so you're exempt. The rest of y'all, 3 miles that way, go listen. Okay, next one. You got it. Back there, Sonny knows what Windows XP sounds like. Wow, okay, yes, Windows XP. I spent way too much time hearing that noise to get myself through college. All right, here's one. This one. Now, this one's the one that's actually going to tell us how old you are. It's good. Now, I figured there may be some people who are like, still, even after we say typewriter, what's a typewriter? Google it, okay? Watch a YouTube video. All right. We threw out like 60 of them here. There was every corner we looked in, there was another little typewriter that didn't work. All right, here's one, next one. It's not iMessage. Facebook Message, yes. Facebook Messenger. All right, or as I like to call it, the interruptions to every sermon I've ever preached. Okay, all right, and then this one, I know that there's gonna be some emotional response here. All right, yes, that is what the fox say. See, here's the thing. Like, we've become familiar with these things. We know when we hear them because we've become so familiar with them that as soon as we hear even just a little bit, we know exactly what the noise is. And the real scary thing is you know what the fox say, but you're struggling to find out what God say. And he's ready. He's ready to speak into your life and lead you. All you have to do is maybe turn off YouTube, maybe turn off the TV, maybe put down your phone and listen. God will guide you. Psalm 23:3, which is our verse that we're focusing on this week. You guys wanna read this with me? Let's read it together from the screen. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. All right, we talked about refreshing our soul last week. We hit on that first part of this passage, and there was no punctuation or verse declination, so we're keeping on, we're hanging on to that. He refreshes my soul, and then he guides me along right paths. So before we can know and identify the voice of God, so that we can understand his will for us, for everyone, for us in particular, and know what to do next, we first have to know what God's will looks like. And so theologians have come up with basically three categories of God's will. Okay, these are the three categories of God's will. Stay with me, these are somewhat technical, but they're valuable. Okay, number one is God's decorative will. This is not the HGTV decorative. This is not God's will for your interior design. Yeah, please, somebody give me a laugh on that one, decorative. It's actually God's sovereign will, God's perfect will. Please wake up. Next is God's preceptive will, which is his revealed will. It's the will that we know. The decorative will is often unknown. We don't know what God's will is, but we know he has a sovereign will that is not for us to know. And the preceptive will is the will of God that has already been revealed to us, either by the scripture or through the Holy Spirit saying, dude, go do that. He says that to me. I don't know if he talks that way to you. Next is God's dispositional will or his permissive will. God's disposition or his position is. One way that this dispositional will is expressed is how God responds to people who do not choose to follow him. His dispositional will, of course, he's willing that none should perish. He wants everyone to decide to follow him, but in his permissive, loving will, he allows humanity to have free will to make their decision whether or not to follow him. And so he loves them enough to allow within his will even people who decide not to operate within his plan. Now I want to pause here. We're going to go on a side note. It's a warning, so it's definitely not ADHD speaking. If God's love and God's will is broad enough, permissive enough, to include people that decide not to follow him or not to do what he tells them to do, then shouldn't God's body, Christ's body, the church, have a love that's broad enough to love and receive people without compromise, but to love and receive people in a open and broad sense, regardless of whether what they're living or how they're behaving agrees with what God has called them to. This should be a place of love. We're not gonna condone things the Bible says not to condone, okay? Calm down. But when God says, I'm gonna love this person anyway, the church must do the same. And so that permissive will is a beautiful aspect of how God operates. In fact, it's not just for the unbeliever, because some of you hard-headed, foolish, rebellious Christians, and you know who I'm talking about, sometimes God has to kind of work you back around. And so his permissive will is like, hey, Seth, go do this. And I'm like, oh, maybe I wasn't hearing God's voice and I just keep going the way I'm going. God's permissive will for the believer is that no matter what you do, he's still working it out for his will. He's still not giving up on you. And so you didn't miss the boat. Maybe you were watching Netflix too much and you think, maybe I missed God speaking to me. God will not relent. His will, his love will pursue you. So those are the three categories of God's will. And so we can identify when God is speaking to us. We know what his will is gonna look like. So how do we know that it's the shepherd talking? How do we know that it's not last night's lasagna or our emotions? How do we know that it's God speaking to us? There's a lot that can be said here, and this is not going to be a conclusive teaching on that exact topic. But if we're to get the most important details, number one, in order to know that it's God who's speaking, you have to spend time with him. I mean, we can go through all the theological terms and say, yeah, it's got to agree with scripture. It's got to yada, yada. How about this? You're going to know it's God because you spend so much time with him. And so even if you're new to the faith, even someone who's new to the faith can hear God better than someone who's been a believer a long time but is distracted. So spend time with the shepherd. John 10, verse 4. We read the last part, then we're going to continue into verse 5. His sheep will follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. This is a marker of spiritual maturity. When we can hear the voice of God, our good shepherd, and know and follow that, and when we also are able to identify who's not the good shepherd leading and run from it. Oh, so many spiritual problems could be resolved if we just get those two things right. We run towards the shepherd and we run away from the voice of the enemy. So you can do this, people. You can hear the voice of God in your life. This is not just for the pastors, the apostles. This is for you. This is for everybody. Sometimes we don't hear from God because we've tuned him out. We named our first son Seth Jr. I'm pretty sure my parents or somebody tried to convince me it was a bad idea to name my son my name. And already, like, even though he's moved to Alaska, like, I'm still getting his mail. My dad still gets mail for for his dad who has his name, and he died 5 years ago, right? Like, these are the problems that they tell you about when you have a son or daughter named after you. But I developed this coping mechanism. I gotta be careful, my wife's here though. These sermon analogies get dangerous when she's in the front seat here. So I developed this listening strategy that when Seth Jr. was little, he would get yelled at from time to time because he is like his dad. And so I would just assume when my wife is yelling my name and it sounds like she's frustrated and angry, my system of processing that is she must not be talking to me, right? Okay, like she'd, Seth, or frustrated sounding. I'm like, boy, Seth Jr.'s in a heap of trouble. Now, the problem is, after developing that, Seth Jr. has moved away, he's married, he's moved out over a year ago. And then I still hear this, and I'm like, must be Seth Jr. Wait, you know? She's in the shower, you know, like she required some extra help because of her foot. She's like, I hollered for you, you never came. I'm like, Seth Jr.'s fault. He's conditioned to me. But the trouble is we think God's not speaking because we've been conditioned to tune him out because we are assuming what he has to say isn't for us. We're assuming maybe what he has to say isn't something we want to hear. And so you're like the kid in front of the TV, unwilling to tilt your head to hear what your father has to say. But you will learn to identify and listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd by spending time with him. What do we mean by that? If you're a newbie, if you're like new to the faith, it must sound weird, like, I'm gonna go spend time with God. Do you set up an appointment? Does he meet you on Zoom? Wouldn't that be cool? You just kind of like, hey God, what's up? You know, all there is a big bright light or something. You know, I don't know, or maybe it's Jesus, we meet with Jesus. When we use the word spending time with God, what we really mean is that we ourselves are setting the appointment. We call it chair time when we make time to pray and read the Bible in a specific location or at a specific time. Like, we have given God an appointment, not so that he can show up because he's always here, but so that we can show up and decide, you know what, during this time, I'm not gonna look at the TV, I'm not gonna look at my phone. I do my chair time on this device right here. It doesn't have any more, there's no Facebook ding coming out of this machine because I don't install that app here. And this is my system of spending time with God. I've decided to avail my presence to his presence. So when we say we're spending time with God, what it means is we've decided that I'm gonna be completely present, knowing that God is already here. And so you may say, hey, you know, I just kind of pray as I go through the day. I don't know how your marriage is, but my wife loves it when I stop other stuff and I listen. And regardless of where you think your marriage is, if you don't have that built in, it's not a good one. You must, to have a good relationship with God or anyone, you must give them your full presence. So we see the Trinity at work when we speak about these topics because we have God the Father, who it says is our shepherd. We have Jesus who is the good shepherd according to John 10. And we have the Holy Spirit that's promised to all believers that leads us in the way that the shepherd leads us. And in Romans 8:9, it says, hey, everyone who believes has the Holy Spirit. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. It's really clear. If you believe in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe in Jesus, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit's been blamed for a lot of crazy stuff. Like, you know, I remember tuning into TV and seeing somebody flopping around in the front of the church, and I'm like, wow, that's funny. And they said that was the Holy Ghost. Now I want to tell you, like, God can do anything, any way that he wants. I don't even have to like it or agree with it. He can operate however he wants. I don't know what the flopping was, but I do know the Bible tells us some really important things that the Holy Spirit absolutely will do in your life, and that is lead you and teach you. In John 14, 26, Jesus says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I told you. So never be afraid of the expression of the Holy Spirit in your life. He can operate any way he chooses, but we know for sure he will lead us as a shepherd will. So as you grow, you read the scripture, you pray, and you begin to see God answering those prayers, and you begin to see God operating in the way that scripture says that he operates. You begin to feel that sense of peace that transcends understanding. You begin to feel that sense of, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You begin to feel that and see that proven over time, that he's a friend, that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And you begin to identify that, man, God really can be trusted. And I know when I hear the voice of God, now I am getting to know. And as we look at Psalm 119, 105, we can see that God absolutely leads through his scripture. It says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So when we want to hear God speak, the easiest way is go read what he already said. There's some great Bible apps. YouVersion is the one that I like, YLUVersion. There's lots of reading plans and devotionals in there. You can friend me on there and see what I'm reading and underlining. It's a great app. Spend time with the shepherd and you will learn his voice. Secondly, live for his name's sake. So it's not just about hearing him and identifying, yeah, that's God speaking, but actually it has to change what you do. Living for his name's sake, for his stamp, his reputation, his made by Jesus on your life. Psalm 23:3, let's read it again. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. As we begin to put into action what Jesus says, we grow. The problem is sometimes we put into action what other people say or what we want, and it leads down other paths. You know, paths that lead to destruction, paths that lead to drowning in water that's not still. When we lie down in pastures that God never laid us in. And so we have to learn to only trust the voice that is trustworthy and then implement it. And the only way to do that is to obey and listen and obey and listen. You will learn to see that mark of Jesus in the behavior of yourself. Hopefully when you look in the mirror, you'll begin to see a changed person when you listen and respond. Now, I have a lot of faith in my abilities as a stylist for black girl hair. When we adopted my daughter at 9 years old, I learned how to style her hair. Delroy's mom actually taught me. And I learned how to do box braids and beads and crochet braids and all sorts of fun. The little rings that go around the braids. And it was our time of like daddy-daughter time. And then, you know, we live in a community that's pretty diverse. And then they'd be like, who did your hair? And I'd be like, I can't wait to hear the answer. You know, your daddy did that? Anyway, that daddy right there, the white one? So I have a certain pride. I'm like, man, I can do this. Even now, she asked me to take her braids out and then crochet the new ones in. I feel confident. So I have a false sense of confidence because I think that I can also do the same with boy hair. So also I have a son of color. And anybody, you know who Michael B. Jordan is?
I gotta teach you white people. You guys know what edges are? The edge of his hair right here, how perfect and handsome that is, okay? That is what all men of color, even some white boys, go in there and get their edge up.
Like they go and get an edge up. That's what it's called. It's called an edge up. I'm educating you guys. This is free, okay? This is free. Okay, so I'm like, look, I watched a YouTube video or two. I'm gonna do, because Mason's hair loves to grow all over. So I'm gonna make you look like Michael B. Jordan. Just trust me. I bought a zero gap trimmer off of Amazon for $12.99. What could go wrong? My wife says, don't do it. I don't do it. Don't let him do this to you. And I'm like, I'm the dad. I'm like, no, I'm doing this. This is gonna look good. You're going to camp. People are gonna be like, look at that. Look at him. He looks like Michael B. Jordan. Who did your edges? My dad. I'm gonna have this fantasy in my head. I'm amazing. And it didn't go like that though. So part of it was the problem of my children watching me. I blame them entirely as I'm doing the edge. They're like, oh, they're making noises like that. And I'm like, you're messing me up. This would be straight if you would just be quiet. And I'm, and then I'm getting my razor to touch it up because it was bad. And so I'm putting shaving cream and shit. Now he's bleeding, okay? He's got like bumps on his forehead. And finally I'm like, okay. Honey, you were right. I should not have touched this boy's hair. I text my neighbor, my friend Omar, who's owner of Five Star Cuts, the fade shop we go to. And I just text him a photo, need your help, can you fit us in? He's like, I can't even say what he said in church, okay? But suffice it to say, it was Mexican for what did you do, okay? And he's like, bring him in, we'll hook him up, and he fixed it. It looked like I had never destroyed his. Anyway, if I ever offer to edge you up, run. Your forehead will thank me. So sometimes we're led astray by all sorts of voices, media, culture, whatever, and we just kind of just do what they say, and we end up looking like an idiot, okay? We end up with a botched up edge. We end up with bleeding, okay? We need to learn to discern which voice to listen to and which voice to put into action and which one to leave alone. You know, make a decision for your life is a big deal. I gave blood. I hope this doesn't turn anybody off from giving blood. You should give blood. I give blood every 8 weeks, and there's someone I donate to right here in this church, and I just love that we're a good match. And so I donate every 8 weeks, and so before this last time, I donated and it turned my whole arm black. You ever have that happen? They were a little rough, and you could barely tell I have a tattoo. And some of you are like, what? Pastor has a tattoo? I got two. Snoopy. Some of you didn't believe that. That's for my mother-in-law. I mean, it was black. It was bad. So I'm there to give blood again, and the same dude walks in the room, and I'm like, no. I'm gonna be as loving, as polite as possible, but you are not putting a needle in my arm, okay? Some of you, you're led astray, and you're like, let's go back here and see what happens again. Okay, you got to be discerning. Let's live for his name's sake. Romans 12:2 says it like this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. By the way, they did awesome last time. Please go back and donate blood. Don't allow that. It didn't hurt. It just looked bad. But the Bible says in Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. A lot of times we can't understand God's will because we haven't allowed him to change the way we think. We're still growing other places to get our edges done. We're still just touching it up ourselves. I guarantee you, if you look in the mirror after God has done his cutting, it will look, may not look like Michael B. Jordan, but you will begin to look like your good shepherd. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. I want to hit a time out here because religious people often mix this up. But we see the order here is that he refreshes your soul, and then you walk along right paths. You were not rescued because you walked along right paths. You cannot do enough good, can't walk enough right paths for the shepherd to go, yeah, you're mine. He already said that, and he sent his son to die for you. That's the mark of the good shepherd on your life. So you were not rescued because of your walking along right paths. You're rescued so that you could walk along right paths. You were not saved by good works. You were saved for good works. Like, following Jesus just motivates you. You begin looking in the mirror and seeing more of him and then behaving like, I'm gonna live for his name's sake. I'm gonna do what he's asked me to do. I'm not just gonna get excited on Sunday and fizzle out on Monday. I belong to Jesus and I'm gonna listen to his voice. Some of you come to the shepherd like we came to Omar, a little cut up. He's holier than Omar, so he doesn't laugh at us. He says, get over here, let me fix that. I always have time for you. We become broken and injured when we follow the wrong voices, and Jesus is always saying, come to me, I'll give you rest. That soul rehab that we need. I want you also to notice that the walking comes after the resting. She said, I'm gonna recharge you so that you're ready to walk. I'm gonna refresh you so that you have the strength to go forward. I want you to have the strength to go forward. John 8:47 says, anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God, but you don't listen because you don't belong to God. It wouldn't be complete me talking about this today unless I identify with the fact that sometimes we don't hear the voice of God because he's not our shepherd yet. He is calling to you and saying, come on, let's come on into my sheepfold. I want you to be a part of my family. And you've pushed him away and pushed him away. And maybe today is the day you decide for the first time, I'm gonna follow the good shepherd. I've done enough. I've got enough wounds and bloodiness from following other shepherds. I'm gonna follow Jesus today. Follow the good shepherd. John 10:23 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Do you want Jesus to bring calm to your chaos? Would you stand with me, please? If you could say that now, I want Jesus to bring calm to my chaos, would you just raise your hand? I want Jesus to bring calm to my chaos. Me too. Here's the truth. Jesus knows everything you've ever done, even scarier. He knows everything you've ever thought. And he still loves you. He's still calling out to you saying, follow me. As we pray, let's bow our heads. Lord, I pray that today we would be a people ready to hear your voice, ready to follow you, that you would bring us out of the chaos and into the calm. I don't know what's going on with you spiritually this morning, but I know that if you don't belong to Jesus, the chaos will never stop. So I want to provide an opportunity for you today, once and for all, to decide, I want to follow Jesus for the first time. If that's you, with our eyes closed to give privacy, but if you would like to say, I want to follow Jesus for the first time today, would you please raise your hand? Raise your hand, look up at me, I want to pray with you. See a few hands. I want to decide to follow Jesus. Anyone else? I want to pray with you. For those who've decided to follow Jesus for the first time today, it's really easy. Even if you've never prayed before, we're going to pray through the ABCs. We're going to admit that we've sinned. We're going to believe that Jesus died for me. And we're going to commit to live a life that honors him. And so pray this prayer at your seat. Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe that you sent your only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sin. And I commit to live every day for you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.